there's a lot of, you know, powerful people in powerful situations that can manipulate a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? I need people to realize that there are human beings behind media. There's human beings behind television. There's human beings behind podcasts. There's human beings behind big entities. And sometimes, just like pod, when you're over-transparent, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. And if you're too transparent, you know what I'm saying? They try to silence you. Everything comes with a sacrifice. And if you're not willing to sacrifice your heart or your morals, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't suggest getting into this business.
Actor Kalen Walker, also known by his rap name KR, was making a name for himself with roles in films like Superfly and Kings. However, his promising career came to a crashing halt. I had the opportunity to speak to Kalen Walker in an interview, as he hasn't spoken in 5 years. So today, y'all, peace and blessings to everybody, man. We got a immaculate actor here today, man. Very courageous. He's did a lot of things in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Brought us great music. You know what I mean? Did a lot of things in Hollywood. And, you know, I was able to get this interview with Kalen and speak his piece. So I just kind of want to hear your story, brother, if you don't mind. You know, just tell the people a little bit about what you are or who you are today or where you came from.
My name is Kalen K.R. Walker. A lot of people may not know, I started off in the dancing movement, you know what I'm saying? The You're a Jerk movement, You're a Jerk, You're a Jerk. When I was a kid, I started a dancing group with a group of other individuals called Marvel Inc. And I used to dance around the streets of L.A., you know what I'm saying? That was my first passion. We would edit videos and dance around, and, you know, it would keep us from away from drugs, away from gang banging, away from problems. And I found a lot of peace and joy in that. From that group, you know, everything runs its course. I decided to go solo. My name in the group was KR. And then when I went solo, I kept my name, KR, and I started making music under the alias KR. And then from my music career, I started to make a little bit of noise, and I started some shows and opening for, like, you know, well-known artists. After I opened for well-known artists, I got put into a situation where an agent came to me and said, hey, we feel you have a very appealing look. You should try acting. And I initially turned the offer down. I didn't think I had what it takes to actually make it on the big screen. But I gave it a shot anyway. And then after that, that's when I booked my movie, Royal Kings. And then I booked a TV show on BET called It's the Temp. And I booked Superfly. And now, you know, unfortunately, the ending of my story right now in this moment is I'm sitting in prison with a severe life sentence.
Mm. So you had explained to me that, you know, you were able to catch wind of my video. Now, I want to ask you this. How accurate was the video that I put out, if you don't mind?
I'll put it like this. First, I want to touch on the Tupac situation. It's crazy that you said that this case and this whole situation I'm dealing with reminds you of Tupac, because I felt the same way. If anybody has experience and knowledge about Tupac, when Juice came out, you know what his character was in Juice, crazy, psychotic, eager for revenge, that type of situation. All his legal troubles started to happen the moment he made a name for himself. Unfortunately, that was the same situation that I endured. You know the things he dealt with, I'm dealing with those things right now. The age where he passed away was the age where I started dealing with my situation. So I do see a lot of resemblance in that. So I understand what you're saying. So in the terms of everything you were saying about the business, how you can move around this industry, you're very accurate. You know, I don't consider you a conspiracy theory man. I can confirm that you know what you're talking about, because I'm in it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I kind of want you to just, you know, vent and express yourself, because yesterday we had a conversation and you kind of broke down to me like, hey, you know, Jay, you know, I kind of want to give an introspective of how, you know, society is today. You know what I'm saying? As far as with a lot of people being incarcerated, wrongfully accused, you know, and how do you feel about that approach? You know what I'm saying?
I think before I talk about others, it's important to take accountability for myself. You know, I learned that as I got older. I didn't understand that when I was in my younger 20s. But now that I'm older, I feel before I can speak on anybody else, it's important to take accountability on my actions, the things that I did that actually led me here. And I think it comes back from, you know, my childhood, my early teens. I know it's kind of surprising to say, but I wasn't the most coolest kid in school. You know, I had the glasses, the gap teeth, you know what I'm saying, the big ears. I was that guy who was extremely book smart, but when it came to women, it just, you know, they didn't give me no time of day. I remember this one specific time, it was Valentine's Day, and I had a big crush on this girl in high school. She was this head cheerleader, you know, super popular. I walked to her with flowers and was like, I would love for you to be my Valentine. And it made me happy to actually feel the courage to go talk to her. And when I walked to her, you know, her group of friends was like, oh, that's so sweet. You know how girls are when they, you know, they think something, you know, sweet. She took the flowers, and when I walked away, you know, I'm excited about it. I look back, she threw the flowers in the garbage. You know what I'm saying? All her homegirls start laughing at me. I think it stems from right there. You know what I'm saying? That feeling of rejection, it bothered me so much. You know, I was tired of being a guy that was ignored at school. I was tired of being a guy that, you know, it felt like I wasn't good enough. I wasn't the best looking dude around, so I kind of felt ignored. So I think I took a new approach, which ultimately led me here to prison. Started when I got my first car in high school. When I got it, my mama bought me that car. But when I pulled up to school in the car, I'm watching these women's reactions change about me. They're like, oh, you got a car? Drive me to the mall? Drive me to my friend's house? I was getting attention from women I never received before. And it felt good. It felt really good to actually be noticed by women. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So instead, I'm like, you know what? I didn't want nobody to know that my mama bought the car. So I lied and said I bought it. That's where it started. When I lied and said I bought the car, it gave me a sense of like, acceptance by the women. You can see their eyes light up. You know, there's this young kid in high school, got a nice car, and he bought it himself. That's crazy. So now girls wanted me to hitch ride with me in the car to the mall or to the movie. You know, it made me feel like, okay, this is what I need to have for to attract women. I need to have material possessions, material things. And I would notice, you know, I'll be intimate with these women because they'll think I have something that's cool that nobody else had in school at the time. So unfortunately, that led me down a dark path. I kept feeling like, you know what? I can't walk through a girl and say, hey, I'm a nerd, I'm funny, I'm goofy, I'm book smart, I got a heart full of gold, I ain't got no job, but I want to take you on a date. I knew I was going to get rejected. So instead, I started saying things that I wasn't at the time to appear better or appear like I had my life together. So, you know, it started, oh, I'm a rapper. I'm a famous rapper. I wasn't a famous rapper. I was making music out of my closet, but I was telling them I was a famous rapper. It was, I'm a famous this, or I know cool people, or I know that. And I started to get more women in high school. I became popular for the wrong reason. But the problem was, is after I was intimate with these women, after lying to them and selling dreams, saying things I could do for them, I didn't call them no more, or I didn't text them no more. And they felt ghosted, you know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, I kept doing this as I got older and as I got older and as I got older, not realizing now that I look back and reflect that I was leaving a paper trail of heartbroken women. You know what I'm saying? I wish at that time I had enough confidence in myself as a man to be like, you know what? This is what I have to offer. Because if I'm being honest, it's hard for men to express to women how we really feel or like the situations that we have in that moment. It's hard to be like, hey, I don't have much, but, you know, I think you're pretty and I want to take you on a date. So then it got worse as I got older. I started to get a little money. If I had $20, I would say I had $100,000. If I had $1,000, I would say I have $1 million. If I knew one celebrity, I would say I knew 50. And I noticed that the level of women and the quality of women changed and kept coming closer and closer and get higher and higher. And I'm noticing that now I'm getting dates. Now women are being intimate with me. So I feel like I have to keep up this facade of being accepted all the way into my adult years, so all the way to the time I got super fly. But unfortunately, it came back to haunt me because I'm not realizing the trail of these heartbroken women that I left. And the moment they saw me on the big screen, there's women sitting at home like, you know what? You played me in this year. You told me you were going to take me on a date in this year. You told me you were going to give me money this year. And I didn't fulfill my promise as a man. So now it's like, okay, this guy want to play these games. I'm going to get back at it. And now I'm seeing the prison conviction that he's on my neck.
Man, I want to ask you a question because in the video that I did, you know, you kind of like crashed out. Some people would say. So, it, you know, how do you feel? Like, do you feel that a lot of people that were in the industry or people that you knew in the industry kind of like turned their backs on you when they when this information came out? You know, how do you feel like that?
At the time when I was younger, I was bitter about it because it's like, dang, I thought these people were really my friends, but I didn't realize it's business. You know what I'm saying? It was wrong or it was dangerous by the public to attach themselves to me based off what I was dealing with. So I was getting a lot of support in silence. There's a lot of people that know about my situation in silence, but I haven't. There's a lot of people that know my situation in silence, and they're supporting me in silence, but they don't say it to the public because they're afraid of the pushback, which I understand, you know what I'm saying? But as a man, now that I'm older, I realize it's my opportunity. It's my opportunity and it's my responsibility to make things right so people feel comfortable, supported. And I feel like a reason people haven't been doing that because I haven't been fully transparent with myself and I haven't taken accountability like I wanted to do that.
So let me ask you this, because like you said, you know, you mentioned that you don't consider me as a conspiracy theorist. In your opinion, why do you think that, you know, this situation happened to you? Like, because we know that, you know, people like Tupac have been in these same situations, but, you know, in a short form, what do you think, you know, the reason is that it happened to you?
Okay, I'm going to answer that question right now. I'm going to turn this off and we'll restart it right now.
All right.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, picking up from when you asked the question regarding Tupac.
Yeah.
If you recall, Tupac was a young black male, and he got placed into this situation and he started to make a name for himself. I feel like nowadays, it's been like this for a very long time. If you're a young black male, that gives any type of resource or opportunity for this work, it's easy by society to target you. Anything that happens, they're going to blow it out of proportion. Anything that happens, it, my pain, my suffering, Tupac's pain, Tupac's suffering, is entertainment for other people. And I feel like it's hard to speak up about truth. It's hard to speak up about these things because it puts your life in danger. But I'm at a place in my life where it's time for me to acknowledge the truth and share the truth because it's not about me at this point. It's bigger than me. I have an opportunity to stop other men from making foolish decisions like I did. I got an opportunity to tell women what they deserve and how to avoid situations and not put themselves in harm's way. But in order to do that, I need to talk about my experience to teach the next generation, the people older, younger, and my age right now, not to make the same mistake. Because I don't want nobody on this planet Earth to end up with this bitter lifestyle. And I feel like the best teacher are the people that's at the bottom. I'm literally live from hell telling you what to do to not get here. So I want people to listen to me closely. You about to get into a real topic that is kind of like taboo to the world. Nobody in no community wants to talk about it. You know, nobody wants to talk about bro code, female code, but in order to create the dialogue between men and women, it needs to be discussed. So I'm going to just get straight to the point. We as men, we dogs. The reason why we piss women off is because we don't say that we dogs. We don't acknowledge what we do. We lie. We say what we can to be able to make women want us to be able to get in the draw, and that's wrong. It's wrong. If we ain't got money, we gonna say that we got money. You see dudes on social media nowadays flashing all type of money. It's not there. Standing on top of big luxury cars, the cars rented, standing in front of mansions, acting like they bought it. It's the Airbnb. We do that all day long, waiting for the right woman to be attracted to us, and then they meet us in person. See what we're really about. We're intimate with them, then we leave and we ghost them. And now us as men, we're mad when women are starting to mimic our behavior. Now there's female players nowadays. Now it's okay, this man don't want me for love, this man don't want me for affection. He just want to get in my pants. So now I'm going to switch the game up. I'm going to post online, I'm going to show off what I got to get all these men money. Where your pockets doing? How much money can you give me? I need a bag. I need you to fly me out. I need a car. I need this, I need that. There's no love in our generation no more, in our community between men and women. We hate each other, and it's a horrible thing. It's either men are saying, what can I get out of women? And women are saying, what can I get out of men? And if it's not even, it's a problem. But the difference for men is we don't realize women are always going to win. They have a power over us that is unspoken. A woman has the power to ruin a man's life. But now, nowadays, everything is transactional. It's what can I get out of the other person? And that's a problem. Nobody's going on dates anymore. Nobody's taking the time to talk to women anymore. When I'm thinking about the women I was intimate with in the past that I wasn't committed to, it makes me think about when I left that paper trail of women that I slept with and didn't call no more. I didn't care about those girls' traumas. I didn't think about maybe the woman lost her father, lost her mother, don't have anybody, was probably looking to me for comfort. I didn't supply it to them. was probably drinking, smoking, dealing with some type of tragedy, and all men is concerned about is getting the pants. I understand why women's perspective changed. I understand why women are like, you know what, I'm going to get what I can out of this man. And if I don't get what I can, okay, you ain't going to fuck me over. I'm going to fuck you over from the worst possible thing and make sure your life is ruined. And I feel like there's no dialogue between us no more. So I'm here now today as an older man, a grown man, to address the fact that us men, we got to stop. I'm saying us. We got to stop. It is cool to be married. It's cool to have one person that you love and communicate with. And I feel personally the reason I've grown and the reason I am the man I am today is because of my wife. You know what I'm saying? I'm happily married. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for her. She came in my life at a time where I was arrested in 2018. 2 months after Superfly came out, I was sitting in the men's central jail, not knowing where my life was going to go. And that's when she came into my life. She talked to me on the phone every day, supported me every day, told me I could do it every day. When I felt like the whole world was against me, she stuck to my side. She taught me the value of having one woman. She taught me the value of comfort in one woman. I feel pride as a man being able to say that I have a wife, and I feel like that's not heavily talked about in our society and our community. Nowadays, it's cool to have 30, 40, 50 girls. Nowadays, it's cool to talk about the girls you slept with and all the stuff you got, man. I take pride in being a husband. Protecting one woman, providing for her. You know what I'm saying? And I wouldn't be the man I am today, and I would not have the knowledge I have today if it wasn't for that woman.
Now, you know, a lot of people going to say you only changed your ways because you inside of there. But do you feel like this has made an impact on your life as far as what you're going through? And how what are ways that some people that are, you know, the younger generation can avoid these type of things? How do you feel?
Yeah. So anybody saying that I'm only saying this now because I'm locked up, if I had to learn sitting in here that sometimes I need to see things through other people's perspective in order to get a better understanding. If I'm not me and I'm sitting on the other side of, you know, in the real world and I'm looking at you, of course you need to say he's only saying this because he's locked up. But I can wholeheartedly tell you I'm saying this from years of reflection. Like I told you, I haven't spoken for 4 years. I spent that time doing self-work. I spent that time talking to God. I spent that time evaluating what led me in here. That's why I came with the conclusion, which is the truth. I was selling drugs, and I was pissing women off in the process. So now, in exchange, it's like, okay, you owe me money, you never paid me. You said you would take me to red carpet events, you never took me there. You said you was going to fly me out, you never flew me there. All right, cool, I'm going to get my lick back. I'm going to ruin your life, and that's what happened. But in order to teach the next generation, a young generation, I got to tell them it's okay to walk to a woman and say what you have to offer in that moment. Hey, my name is blah, blah, blah. I don't have money like that. I work a 9-to-5 job. I get minimum wage. I don't have a car right now. I'm taking the bus, but I'm funny. Or I can make you laugh, make you feel, you know, good. I'm sensitive. I'm a good listener. That's what I have to offer right now. Then allow the woman to choose that she want to mess with you or not. Because the moment a man starts to lie to a woman about what we have to offer, we're taking away their ability to choose because we're selling them a fantasy that we're not fulfilling as men. And that angers them. And it makes them feel like, okay, forget men. Now men are saying F women and women are saying F men. And now we just hate each other. And that dialogue got to stop. But it starts with us men. We're the leaders of the household. We're supposed to be protecting our women. But we fail when we cheat. We fail when we lie to them and sell them dreams. And I was one of those men who failed. Now that I'm older and I reflected on what I'm dealing with and where I made my wrongs at, I want to make them right by teaching other men how to respect women, how to tell men not to put themselves in this situation in order to not put yourself in this situation. Make smarter decisions with them. Have open dialogue and open communication with them. Then let them choose if they want to give you their time or not. And if they don't let that ruin your confidence. There is a woman out there that will accept you who you are. And I feel like my whole purpose changed. I feel like sitting in here, you know, going back and forth with God. There's been times I've been mad at God personally. I'm like, look, God, you know my heart, you know what I've been through. Why, the first time I ever sit in prison, my first time, recorded, I had no record. I didn't have a parking ticket. The first time you throw me in jail, give me a 50-year life sentence. Have the world saying the worst shit about me, and then you kick me to the curb and I disappear. People don't understand the process of what we feel as inmates here. We're still people. We got families. We got loved ones. We still got careers. We still got dreams. We still got goals. We become a Christian like you died. I've been feeling dead for a very long time. And I've been mad at God. Like, why would you do this? But I feel like God gave me this ability to be able to speak about my trauma. He put me here to teach other men how not to be here. He put me here to sit me down for me to realize the mistakes that I made and embarrass myself and tell the truth about, hey, no man want to admit that I lied to you to be cool, but I need to say it because it's bigger than me at this point. So all the men that's out there doing that, you got to stop. Right now, there's men watching this that got 15 or 20 women in the DM section texting them the same thing, trying to get in their draw. Hey, stop and be a doctor. Is it worth losing your freedom? Is it worth losing your life? Is it worth heartbreaking another woman to create another problem with our community to build these hate for? We got to come together. We got to have dialogue. Men got to talk to women with respect, and women got to talk to men with respect and understand why we do these things to each other. And hopefully I can start that conversation. I think that's what God put me on earth for. It's not even about my career at this point. I want to help people in here and out of here, no matter where I'm at.
Absolutely, man. So now, we know that in Hollywood that, you know, when it comes to a lot of people that, you know, pretty much don't go along with the program, you have people like Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, you know, even P. Diddy. Some people may say that, you know, P. Diddy didn't do certain things to appease the masses or the people that control Hollywood. In your opinion, do you think you might fall in that category in a sense?
Yes. I've seen, and it bothers me so much to think about it, I've seen the most horrible headline for me, and I have to sit and defeat that. If you type in right now, who is an entertainer with a 50-year life ticket, I am the only person that pops up on who you think that's the reputation I wanted for myself. Do you think that's what I wanted to go down in history as? That when you type in the word 50 years from my prison, I'm the only human being that pops up. I am ashamed of myself. I'm mad. I feel like I failed as a person in life. I failed my family. I failed myself. I failed God. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's so unheard of. I wanted to be famous when I was younger because I just wanted to be accepted. The people that were in my personal life, I felt like I wasn't receiving the attention that I wanted. So I told myself, you know what? The people in my real life kind of make me feel invisible. I want the world to know my name. So my reason for being famous was just because I wanted to be accepted. But a lot of celebrities and everyday men don't admit those things. I've had conversations with powerful, high-profile people that are famous with money, all types of stuff, and they feel miserable because they just want to be accepted by the opposite sex. So I know that this is a real thing. If you do that, I have my situation, my charges, and my sin is worse than Bill Cosby, R. Weinstein, R. Kelly put together. I was 22 when I came to this. How is my first time in here? I can 50 years to life. I want people to see, actually think, here's this young guy, never had a record, never had a parking ticket. I see him in the movie, 2 months later, I see him in prison with a 50-year to life sentence, with no details in this case, with no physical evidence coming out, everything he said, she said. I want people to actually take a second and be like, what happened here? Like, what's off about this? And I don't think people took the time to do that because they were blinded by seeing headlines. And they took my character from the movie, emulated it like, yo, this is real life, this is who it really is. You know what I'm saying? When I did that film, the director told me that he wanted me to act like Steve Austin Juice. He wanted me to have resentment, anger, madness in my heart. And I executed that when I did the role. But that's not the only part of it. There's intellect here. You know what I'm saying? I like poetry. I like learning about God. I like, you know what I'm saying, photography, all types of different things. But people didn't take that time to get to know me because I never had a platform to actually explain myself and explain who I am.
All right, so I want to ask you this question, man. In Hollywood, like, people always hear about the powers that be. You know, is that really true in your retrospect?
Yeah, there's a lot of you know, powerful people in powerful situations that can manipulate a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? I need people to realize that there are human beings behind media. There's human beings behind television. There's human beings behind podcasts. There's human beings behind big entities. And sometimes, just like Pac, when you're over-transparent, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they agree, sometimes they don't agree. And if you're too transparent, you know what I'm saying? They try to silence you. You've been seeing that for years. You ever wonder, you know what I'm saying? When Pac did an interview and he's talking about sometimes people are at a certain place. And when you get out of that certain place, you're punished, penalized for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, the industry is, I was that guy that was like, I want to get to the industry. It's so fun. But you really got to have a mindset, a discipline, and a heart for it. You know what I'm saying? Everything comes with a sacrifice. And if you're not willing to sacrifice your heart or your morals, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't suggest getting into this business. You're being judged 24/7. You need to realize fame doesn't mean that people like you. Fame means a large amount of people are aware about who you are, whether they like you or not. Your privacy, that's gone. That's done. You walk outside, if you're with a specific person, they're going to say you're in a relationship. You walk inside with a different person, you cheated. You go to an event, you in the club, you have an altercation with somebody, the fight's going to be over-exaggerated. If you don't have the mindset, the heart, or the mental toughness to deal with the industry, that's why a lot of people who aren't famous, I want you to understand, you got to give these people and the celebrities, the people that you guys look up to, the people that's getting into the drama, you got to give them grace. These are human beings. And their business, their private business, are being put on platforms. And most of the time, the business is even the truth. You see a new man accused of, you see a new woman being tied, labeled a whore when she's not. Just for entertainment, for TV. You know, there's baby mamas and pregnancies and men treating women a certain way. And these things are publicized to the world because us as everyday people, that's what we feed off. We want to see the negative lives of other people. But we as a community have the opportunity to change that dynamic. So once we humanize these celebrities and look at them as everyday normal people, I feel like we can make a big difference. That's why I want to go back to you, Jay, about when you dropping your content. The reason I decided to do my first ever interview and sit in here with you was when you cover my story, you weren't biased. You told my life story from when I was a kid all the way to now, but you never put he's good. Never put he's innocent. You just said, I want y'all to take the time to review this and feel like, is this fair? I feel like you're giving me this opportunity to get other high profile people the opportunity to talk. They'll want to talk to you because they feel comfortable in a safe place. One thing I respect about your audience is when I heard about the video you made and the response you got, a lot of the responses was, I didn't take a second look at his situation. I don't believe this guy did it. And I haven't heard that in a long time, and it feels good. So now I wanted to come on the platform and talk to you guys and talk to your audience and let you know that everything that you've been thinking and posting about and trying to put two and two together about people losing everything because they didn't conform, or people, you're 100% right, because I'm dealing with it right now. I'm sitting in prison with a 50-year life sentence. I'm dealing with it right now. So I want you to know that what you're doing, you're actually really impacting the culture. You're telling everyday people what we really deal with. I'm an everyday person. I'm not special. I'm nothing different than the average person. I was a young man who made foolish decisions, and now that I'm a grown man, I want to make sure that I spark the brain to teach the next person not to make the same foolish decisions that I did. And I feel like I can do that on the platform, which is where I came from. So I really thank you for that, and I appreciate you.
Absolutely, man. I want to ask you this. If you had the chance to do it all over again, would you do it all over again?
Yes. Now, when I say yes, I say yes because I would do it all over again strictly for the only reason of how I approach women. I would go back and be respectful and say, hey, this is what I have to offer, and I would love to take you on a date. Instead of selling dreams and lying, acting like I was richer than I was, or acting like I have more connections than I did, in order to impress them so I could be intimate with them, just not to call them back. I can understand why women are mad at me. I can understand why women wanted to ruin my life. You know what I'm saying? I get that. I understand that because I was a liar, and I should have told the truth. So while I'm sitting in here with a 50-year to life sentence, I want to let every other man that's watching this, young or old, know out there, please, if you have the opportunity to make something right with a woman, do that. If you have an opportunity to meet a good girl, settle down with her, bro. You know what I'm saying? Being married is cool. You have the opportunity to be there for one person, When I speak to my wife, I love her credit score was messed up. I fixed it. She has problems with everyday life of trying to navigate something by herself. And it feels good for me as a man to solve those problems for her. That every day she wakes up depending on me to make sure that her life goes as smooth as possible. And I take pride in that. Other men can too. It's okay to have a girlfriend and be okay about it. Women want to be acknowledged. Women want to feel seen. Women want to be heard. They don't want to be kept secret. They don't want to feel like they're a piece of meat. They want to be acknowledged and respected just like men do. So it's our job to make sure women feel knowledge, acknowledged, and respected, and they'll give us the same respect in return. But in order to do that, we have to have a new dialogue. It's okay to be there. It's okay to have a girlfriend. It's okay to tell the truth. No matter where you are as a man in your life right now, you're at the top or you're at the bottom. Build your way up and be honest with every woman you come across. I promise you the result will be different, and I can guarantee you it's going to keep you out of prison. Don't make the same mistakes I made. And I also want to apologize to the women who don't know me. You know, it's embarrassing for me as a black man to sit in prison for dealing with what I'm dealing with. You know what I'm saying? It makes all of us as men look bad every time someone ends up in here. So I want to apologize to the women and say, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of my actions. Past, but in order to fix what I did, I have to acknowledge that I did wrong. You know what I'm saying? That my actions weren't right. I understand, you know, the consequences for my actions. So now I feel like I'll be more effective back home because now I want to teach other men how to avoid these problems. I want to teach women what they really deserve and how they should really be respected and loved. I want a woman watching this to show her son this video. I want a woman watching this to show her husband or her boyfriend. I want a man watching this, show his son, show his brother, show his uncle. It's a way bigger dialogue that we need to have. And I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to tell you about it. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you, man. So, you know, in your situation, you know, I don't want to dive too much into your case, but, you know, there could be lawyers and you know, people, attorneys watching. Do you think that, you know, your situation could change, or was there any, like, type of unfair treatment on your end?
It was extremely unfair treatment on my case. I'm going to save that for a later time.
Okay.
That case is still being worked on and looked over by legal representatives.
Okay.
And, you know, I made the mistake in the past of yelling at a computer screen and being crazy and psycho.
Right.
I had to learn calmness and talking with clarity. So now that I'm older and I have the knowledge, you know what I'm saying, I have people in behind the scenes looking into the legal situation. But I do personally feel I was railroaded. There was a lot of things in the trial that wasn't displayed to the public that works in my favor, that shows my credibility of me being honest about my innocence, but it never got to the media, only the method of headline. So I'm putting a plea out. You know, any additional help is appreciated. My Instagram handle is Kaylin X Walker. I know a lot of people have been wondering if I got an Instagram handle or not. It was like a low-key account, but I've learned I can't hide from the world. I got to be out there. So my IG is Kaylin, K-A-A-L-A-N-X, Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R. That's actually really me. That's my real account. It has the contact information in there if you want to email me. If it's advocators of prison reform, other lawyers, other attorneys, anybody that can add to, you know, help me get home, I'll really appreciate it. I'm not going to sit in here and lie to you and say that I don't want to go home. I do. I don't want to sit in here and envision my life 20, 30 years from now thinking I'm never going home. I don't want to do that
way. Right.
I need help. I need help, and I'm not too proud to ask for help. But it's the people that make things change. It's the people that make history. And I want history to be made, but I need the people to back me to do it. So if you do support me, please reach out. Please reach out to my IG. Email me if you know anybody that in the higher ups that can help me, people that have a platform that want to speak on my situation and spread awareness. So I appreciate any help I can get, man.
Absolutely, man. This last question, man, before you go and do what you gotta do. So you basically, like, everything that we explained or discussed today, like, how do you see, you know, in your opinion, do you think there's a change or a sense of hope? You know what I'm saying? Can things be shifted in your defense?
I got to give that to God.
Right.
I want things to be shifted in my defense. But one thing I learned about God, and it don't matter how much you yell at him, how much I yell at him, how much I disbelieve in him, I only disbelieve in God when I'm not getting the results that I want at that moment. But what I learned and understand about God is God doesn't work on man's time. God works on God's time. And maybe this is a blessing and a stepping stone to put me in a position where I want to be. In order for God to move in my life, I have to come on here and tell my truth and say the faults that I made to inspire other people to not make the same mistake.
Right.
So I'm going to leave that strictly to God and the people. I don't get out of here if it's not for a lawyer. I don't get out of here if it's not for a change of public opinion. I don't get out of here if it's not for God. So I need those three things to coincide and work together in order for me to go home. But I do want to go home.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
Let me not, you know, misdirect you for a second. I've cried in here. I've been frustrated in here. I've been angry, sad, depressed, suicidal, all types of things in here. And I had to survive it, and I'm still surviving it. Every day's a struggle in here. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel these things. So I do want to go home. I would be lying to you if I said I didn't. Like, oh yeah, I'm cool. I'm chilling. Like, I'm just strong all the time. That's not the truth. That's not the truth for any man. So any help I can get, I'm extremely grateful for it. I feel like, one more thing. I feel like the movie Superfly was a shield of armor too. Because actually, I didn't realize the impact the movie had until I got to playing the movie in here. And every man that's seen it just walked to me and shook my hand and be like, man, you inspire, you know, the street culture. You know what I'm saying? I felt who you were in that movie. So it kind of formed like a protection over me in here. Every man know what I'm dealing with in here, but I'm respected by every race. I communicate with every race. I'm cutting hair, and I'm building a community in here. Now I want to build a community out there. So any help would be appreciated, man. Jay, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you very, very much for your time.
Absolutely, man. I thank you, man, because, you know, I'm glad you reached out, you know, to get your word out there. And like I said, a lot of people going to see this, man. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's kind of good that we were able to talk. And, you know, unlike other celebrities, you know, you reached out to me, which I respect. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm always going to be in touch with you, brother. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to know you got me. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't got nobody else, you got me, brother.
Thank you, man. God bless you. And I want other people in your comment section to dialogue about this, men and women that feel like they agree or disagree. I'm open to discussion. God bless you.
God bless you, man. Peace.
All right.
All right.